I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to HelloFresh for supporting Play Retro. Go to HelloFresh.com/retro22 and use the code retro22 for 22 free meals plus free shipping.
Another beautiful day in the magical kingdom of Hyrule. Boring place. I used to roam the world, fighting monsters and sleeping in mud. A hero's life. Now look at me, living in a castle, sleeping in a bed. Aren't I sweet?
Ugh.
Was that Link?
That was Link. Dark-haired Link. Cartoon Link.
He's such a dink.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. Just for the record, that's from the cartoon that they used to have during the Super Show, the Mario Super Show.
I knew that. I was like, that doesn't sound like a commercial, but it does sound familiar. So, okay. Yeah, so
it's very weird. Show, I get you. It's very, very weird. And they're all on YouTube,
Legend
and I kind
of
Zelda. Recommend it. But they're... The reason I didn't play a commercial for some of the stuff we are going to talk about is part of the problem with what we're going to talk about. They didn't advertise this shit. So anyway, we'll get to
a commercial for half of these games.
That's right. Welcome to Play Retro, everybody. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and we might have a Sonic the Hedgehog game, and I just have this question. How come we never had any good Zelda RPGs? Oh, wait, we did. Well, how about you, or how come you never heard of those? Well... Why is it you'll hear about them today? Well, because we have a bunch of questions. Too many questions. I should swipe my sword on bushes and get more gold now.
Oh, yes. Swipe it up. And I am your other host, Brian Dunaway. And hey, pay attention. It is treacherous to embark alone. Receive this and travel to the lands of Sega Mega RPGs. And don't tell Nintendo. It's a secret to everybody. Oh, well, excuse me, princess. If I like a little action... in my RPG. Yeah. Why do monsters suddenly appear every time you are near?
Aliens.
Yeah, that's the only way I can explain that. That was aliens. No, we're not talking about aliens today. We're going to talk about Nintendo and Sega, and specifically Sega's attempt to create the Zelda phenomenon within their own walls to make a good phenomenon. Either copy or... a better version or something to compete with the juggernaut that was the Zelda franchise. And they never quite pulled it off. They came close a couple of times. I'd argue one of them would have nailed it if they would have given a shit about promoting it. But they didn't. So we're going to talk about that, what all went down there, and some of those games in particular. So you guys might want to check those out. Before we do, though, a few things to talk about. I am making big progress on my playthrough of the Minish Cap, speaking of Zelda. Legend of Zelda Minish Cap. This is the thing I started playing again once I got the new or got the Steam Deck back from repair and reloaded everything. Problem is I didn't have my old save. And so I started over. Good news is I'm past where I was with that save. So it's as if it never left. A lot of wasted time, though.
Was it wasted, though? You got to revisit
that game's
all
great.
Those beloved areas.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That game's great. There is nothing wrong. with Diminish Cap. It's one of my favorite Zelda games. It might be like number
two. Wait, is it Diminish Cap or Minish Cap?
The Minish Cap.
Oh, so he's not, his cap is not diminishing. Like,
no, he wears a hat that makes him up. Makes him mini is what happens.
Oh, so he's mini. He's mini-ish.
Yeah, he's mini-ish. And the and the cap talks. It's like a hat that has like a voice and stuff, or doesn't use real words.
Right, that's what they did with the Super Mario thing on the Wii, didn't they? Isn't that the whole gimmick?
No, that's the Switch. You mean the new Odyssey has the hat? Switch. Yeah.
What did I say?
Well, you said Wii, but that's okay. You'd be forgiven because Nintendo's weird. But here's the thing, that game, honestly, okay, my two favorite Zelda games in the world are. Wind Waker, number one.
Oh, so good.
And then this game on the GBA, the Game Boy Advance. I love this game.
And not Link to the Past, then?
No, I like Link to the Past. All of those are great. There's nothing wrong with every other Zelda game, except maybe I don't like Majora's Mask at all. I don't like the time
interesting.
Mechanism in that game. And I really, really like Breath of the Wild, except for the breaking weapons crap, and it knocks it down a few pegs.
Oh, just wait until you hear about one of our games this week.
Oh, no. Great. Can't wait to play that one. But anyway, that's going good. And I also finally got RetroArch to play nice with some of my new setup stuff that I'm trying to do here. Brian and I pre-show, we're trying to figure out how to do some multiplayer on there. We're still going to work on that. And now my goal, I have a goal. My January, before January's over goal, is to figure out the best way. I know there are ways, but I want to figure out the best way to sync my saves between the Steam Deck and its RetroArch saves and my desktop RetroArch, so I can just have those at the ready, cloud saved anytime I need them. And some of you might say, well, you just do it with the Linux thing and the Dropbox here and the doodah there. I know there are ways, but I'm going to explore this and figure it out on my own, Brian.
No, you're gonna do it yourself. Oh, you're like, screw you guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my own. I'm gonna figure it out on my own, and then I'm gonna tell other people what I did, and then they're either gonna laugh at me and say, "You went way too far and hard to get that done."
They're all gonna laugh at you,
or they're gonna be impressed with my ingenuity. So
I think you're gonna do it. I think you're gonna figure out a way, and it's not gonna require some weird ass website that Bombie's gonna write for us.
Right. Yeah, we can't have Bombats write everything to fix all our problems, you know?
Right. However, if he did, I'm just saying.
Actually, you know what, Bombats? If you're hearing this and you do that, you've got a way to sync my saves between my Steam Deck. We're already
getting chat room Bombi who's going, what? No, what the what? No, no, yeah, no.
You figure that out. I'll go your way, okay? I'll go your way, and no one will laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you.
No, they mean me, not you.
That's right.
Anyway, what have you been up to? You've been up to some stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I've got my 3D printer. Not to bore everybody with my 3D printing stuff. But, hey, look what I did. I printed, I got some Game Boy games, a lot of Pokemon Game Boy games.
Oh, look at that.
And they were just all, I don't have any cases for them. They were just all laying around in a box, and I didn't care for that. So I took my 3D printer and made use of what I said I was going to do with my 3D printer, which is to make some storage cases and some display cases for that. This is a Game Boy 3D print I downloaded off Thingiverse. And it just says Game Boy on the front of it. It's that kind of that Game Boy gray that I kind of had sitting in my filaments. And it's got a nice big old Game Boy in the front of it. And I printed up four of them. So I got close to 40 Game Boy games. And now I have nice little displays that I can put. And you can see them back there on top of my CRT sitting there waiting for me to print out a stand.
Freaking 40 of those? My gosh, that's a lot. 40 is a lot. Isn't it?
40 is a lot, and this stack alone is like almost 10 Pokemon games just by itself.
Are some duplicates?
Is that not crazy?
That's crazy. Some of those are dupes, I assume, because they didn't have that
only
many.
One dupe on my Pokemon, and I think I have one dupe on my Legend of Zelda Ages, and we'll see if we can get one of those to Scott. Is what I'm hoping I can
Ooh,
do.
Ooh, fancy!
Ooh, yes. Also, I've been printing up some other stuff too. I printed this up today. It's a Sega controller stand, which also will mount to the wall, so I can just put my little Sega controllers in there. So I'm getting organized. I'm getting retro organized, baby. I've been downloading all the 3D prints I can find of stuff and getting myself retro organized because it's getting out of hand in here, Scott. It's getting out of hand.
Does that thing do the 6-button and the 3-button or just the 3-button?
It actually does. This does the 6-button and the 3-button. And I've yet to test it with the minis. So, you know, the minis actually have a controller that's a little bit smaller than the standard.
Yeah. They were the Japanese size, I think, because they have, they were different over there. Because we have big fat hands here in America and over in Japan.
We got big fat hands. But also, something that's happening right now is my arcade, and this is related to what I'm doing, this I got for Christmas. It is Ms. Pac-Man, and it's the My Arcade handheld version. I've showed you my Pac-Man one before, and I requested a Ms. Pac-Man, and I got just that. It also has Mappy and Sky Kid on it, and these things, in my opinion, out of all the My Arcade stuff, is some of the best. But they recently announced a deal with Atari, and I posted a Pix link in the show notes. And if you click on that, you'll see that they're making a little handheld like this that's supposed to have those 50 classic arcade or 50 classic Atari titles. I don't know if they're going to be the exact same ones that is in that pack, but I am pretty stoked about it. So Atari announced a new handheld mini arcade and home console in conjunction with My Arcade. And so far, I've been fairly impressed with most of their hardware.
Are these 2600 games, though? Because what I need them to be, I need these to be the arcade stuff, not their freak. I hate the 2600. It's a garbage console.
That's the question. I haven't finished digging. I just saw that earlier today, and it's going to be about $40, I believe. I think their GameStation thing console might have. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure yet. I still got some reading to do. But if it's as good as these other ones, I'm on board.
Okay, I will keep my eye on that too. I'm interested in all the arcade lineup. I don't care about any of the 2600 games or 5200 or.
KT Data actually says who went to CES recently in the chat room got to see it at the CES.
Oh, were you there? Oh, I didn't know we had our own Kevin there. You know what?
Yeah.
Did you just go there on your own for the funsies, Kevin? Because that's rad.
The funs.
Did you see any of the DTNS people? They were there as well. Interesting. I look at that handheld. I actually like the look of that a lot, like a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I can tell they're playing, that's Asteroids for the 2600, and I hate it.
Yeah. I said, it's probably going to be the Atari. I don't know. This Ms. Pac-Man is an arcade version. It would, and since if they're doing it officially licensed with Atari, I don't see why not. And it's the 50th collection, which they kind of merged the two arcade games that they published first, and also the Atari 2600 and the other Ataris. So I think there's a good chance there'll be more than just the 2600 games on that handheld. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but this Ms. Pac-Man that is on the My Arcade device is the arcade version. So
right.
I'm just saying.
I am also saying. I'm saying also.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, a little shout out to a friend of ours, a fellow podcaster and co-host of various shows with us, either Film Sack or TMS, take your pick. Brian Ibbett started making something pretty cool, and I wanted people to be aware of it. I'm looking at his Etsy page right here. So if you go to coverville3d.etsy.com, he has a whole store. He does a bunch of like 3D printed Kyber crystal holders. He does other cool stuff, articulated monster stuff. He put up a Steam Deck stand today.
Yes.
That has the morning. So right now has the morning stream on it with an R in brackets because it looks like Steam if you take away the R, right? Get it. Steam Deck.
Clever.
He and I are sort of in relief on the front of it as well. Anyway, if that's interesting to you and you want your own 3D printed stand, which will also work with the Switch, the Vita of all things, smartphones, little tablets, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty rad thing he's making. In his 3D printing world, there's a couple of shots where it's in the actual dock.
Everything
there.
I learned about 3D, I learned at Ibbett's house first. I had to go over his house, but I invaded his internet space.
And you can get a bunch of colors, too. A whole bunch here. Gosh, how many of those are there? There's all
multicolored filaments, too, which are super sexy. I got one of those articulated monsters, and I think it did it like in a some kind of rainbow sherbet thing. It's sweet.
Cool. Here, I'll show people that too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Purple and bluish and different colors shines through. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't think it's around. Cotton candy or something like that. It's delicious. I tasted it.
You just want to lick it. Like cotton candy. I just want to lick it. Yeah. Looking at it right now, I want to lick it. Anyway, recommend going checking that out. That's over at coverville3d.etsy.com if you are so inclined. Okay. Now time for this.
Shall we play a game?
Indeed we shall. We're going to talk about a few games. A few games, really. Oh, I'm on the alien page. Why am I over there again? Alien.
I don't know. We did that last week. That was a cool episode, but we don't need to do it again.
Hey, Govelius, the Valley of Doom. Have you heard of it?
Not until last week, but Govelius, the Valley of Doom.
Have you heard of Golden Axe Warrior or Beyond Oasis or Crusader of Senti? Are all of these names unusually weird and strange to you? Well, that might be because back when Sega was making these to take Zelda games head on, they were terrible at marketing them. And none of them really ended up sticking, although people have some fond feelings about them. But if you were a Sega-only household, you didn't have Zelda games. So you had to take what you know, third parties and Sega would do for you. And it turns out they tried a few times, and then they just kind of petered out a few times.
I learned this past week, they had a whole initiative. I didn't realize this. Now, they were fighting Nintendo. Sega was fighting Nintendo in Japan, especially because Nintendo was killing it with the RPGs. Yeah. Not as much here in the U.S., but we did pretty good here in the U.S., so Sega started an initiative called Mega RPG, where they were gonna publish 7 RPG titles, and they were gonna market it heavily for about a year and see what came out. And we're gonna talk about a few of those games that came out of that.
Yep. Today. Let's start with Govelius, the Valley of Doom. Came out in 1987, and it sounded like this. Sounds like a you know, an 8-bit ass game, and that's what it is. I tried to play a little bit of this, and I struggled. I didn't like this game at all, partly because the character does this weird thing, and people are watching it on screen right now. They went for the Zelda 2 aesthetic of a 2D scroller.
Right, it goes back and forth. It's got the top down,
yeah, some of it.
Yeah, but
dungeons are all run like your Zelda 2 in it, and then when you're overworld, it's very much like a Zelda title. My problem with the underworld stuff is he doesn't jump backwards or run backwards. He can only run forwards. Yeah. So when you want to do anything, he runs back but without turning to face the other direction, and I find it really disconcerting and annoying that he does that.
Really annoying. That was the first thing I had trouble with, too, because I'm like, oh, no, is my controls broke? What is going on right now? But, yeah, he will not turn about face, and I thought, I was like, oh, maybe they just didn't have the space on a master system to have a sprite character face the other direction and double the animation or whatever. And I was like, no, that's not it, because they do it all over the place. I'm like, what is going on? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, it's very weird. But it was an interesting attempt at doing what these games are trying to do, which is, I don't know, capture the spirit of Zelda. But really, they didn't do that. I don't think they did enough differently here. And this is obviously early, so we're talking Zelda 1 existed.
Like 2 years or something like that?
Something like that.
2 or 3 years but prior to this?
Yeah, for not very long. Maybe 85 it came out, I think.
Yeah.
One thing it does, I think, well, compared to the other, is the graphics are way better.
Right.
It's a better... The overworld stuff is just... Yeah, better looking than 1. 1 is real sparse if you go back and play Zelda 1, but...
And the Master System had a larger color palette than the NES. The NES was notorious for its very small color palette.
Yeah. It's probably, 16 colors here as opposed to the 8 or whatever?
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's 16 colors, but it certainly feels like. I don't know if they're using some dither technology. I got to go back and learn my stuff about my Master System. The first true console I ever owned was a Master System. And
what's the Master System? Let's see. Master System Resolution. I'm trying to do a little math here in my head.
240 or something.
It's 240 by one something. Hold on. It's
probably.
Here it is. Okay. It is not telling me. That's fantastic.
It's not going to tell me. It's not going to share. It's just a mystery.
Hold on.
I want to do a deep dive on the Master System, though, because like I said, that was my first console. And when I had it, I knew nothing about game systems. I knew it was my first experience other than the Atari Pong, which was just a little black box with Pong on it.
Oh, I found it. Sorry, 256 by 192.
Okay,
here in the States. Okay, yeah. A little bit different on the PAL systems, but roughly the same. So what I was trying to do is figure out the math here. 256 by 192, how many master system screens, full screens of master system going on, could you fit in a modern 4K television display?
Oh, 4K. Oh, well, that's a lot. That's a bigger number. I'm sure we could do the math really quick. What is it? Not 100. Let's see. How many lines? How many lines resolution is true 4K? It's not real 4K. It's like three. It's something weird.
It is weird. It's a weird number. Like, but if let's say it was exactly 4,000 pixels wide.
Deep, right? Because it's 1080 is number of lines up and down.
Right,
and then the 4K. So we measure it by number of scan lines, not by width. Oh, right?
I thought it was because straight
that determines
pixels
the
now.
Aspect ratio.
I thought it was straight What's pixels that? Now. Isn't it just straight pixels? Or are they still doing scan lines?
I don't think so. But what do I know?
Well,
I'm no expert on that.
All right, let's just do this. Let's say it's 4,000. Okay, you have 4,000 pixels diagonal, or however you're going to do it. You divide that by 256. You can fit 15.62 separate screens of whatever's going on your master system on that giant screen. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and you would have to get very close to see each one of those tiny little screens of Govelis, the Valley of Doom.
Yep.
And every time you had to go, oh, what a weird game. instead of like, you know, almost all these games have like the wise person you have to visit and kind of consult in or store owners and that kind of thing. This has a bunch of witches, I'm assuming, old witches in caves that you pop into. And she's got different attitudes. Sometimes she seems like she wants to help, and sometimes she calls you a jerk. She's really weird.
Yep. And this is what she says. Usually you'll go in there and here's what the girl says. Without gold, thou canst buy needed equipment. They decided to make the language of it all biblical, and that drove me crazy.
Yeah. This is all RPGs originally developed in Japan. We didn't see a translation until later. So, the English translation is always going to be weird on these games.
Yeah.
And, but I do love, and we're showing on the screen right now, that I love the characters you fight. Dragon Quest, which we talked about not that long ago, has these really kind of cutesy bad guys that are kind of, you know, it's in that that manga style anyway, if you've seen Dragon Quest, you kind of know what I'm talking about. Those silly cutesy kind of chibi kind of character even the bad guys. All the snakes are hilarious. They got these big, you go against snakes and they got these big giant eyes. They're not intimidating at all, right? They're kind of hilarious, but they're difficult to bait.
Yep.
And right now we're watching a Yeti toss snowflakes in there. I guess he's the boss.
He was the boss of this particular.
He's a gold man. Yeah. What is that? Yeah, gold max.
I don't know. But if you go in there, if you want to play this game, I'm not going to say don't. I'm just going to say we have others that are better coming up. All right.
Yeah, this was the first one much earlier than most of the rest. 87. Most what we see going forward is going to be early 90s and on. And it does an okay. It's all right. I don't think I'll probably come back to visit this one. I did not add it to my must complete list.
I love this. This lady, this witch says, brave warrior, thou defeated Despa bravely.
I sell crystal to you now.
You like crystal? I give you some.
You like crystal? You like crystal? But she's such a weirdo and she's so finicky. Like I said, sometimes I guess it's probably the localization stuff. You're talking to them, and sometimes it's like, oh, this seems like a nice, friendly witch. And then she'll be like, then she turns on you, like, oh, maybe you're the demon.
Yep.
Maybe you're the demon. I don't know. But yeah, it's just basic Zelda clone. You're fighting, you got to defeat seven fiercest demons. And what, like, all these stories go as well. It's like something in the land is awry, and you must set out on a quest. To right the wrong. Something has made the animals crazy. And along the way, of course, you're going to meet some fairies. And these fairies, by the way, kind of sexy fairies. I'm not going to lie. Out of all the 8-bit fairies I've seen in video games.
That's fair.
These are kind of sexy.
That's fair. I love how you wrote this. There's a note in here that Brian made. It says, in some caves, you will find fairies, sorceresses, and wise women. I don't know why that's great.
Wise women. Well, that's what they call it. They call them wise women.
Yeah, it's I love that. Weird. That's great. Yeah. And you got potions and you got all the stuff you expect. It's an attempt to do the Zelda thing that sort of kind of worked. Again, they didn't push it very hard. No one hardly heard of this game.
Not here in the U.S. anyway.
No. Japan was where it was at. Now let's talk about one that I actually quite like. This is one that I think I could play more of. It is also on the Master System. Here's what this sounds like. And this one's going to jump out at you because it's going to have a familiar name to it, or at least partially. Golden Axe Warrior from 1991.
And everybody I talk to says, oh, yeah, I played Golden Axe Warrior. And I'm like, no, I think you played Golden Axe.
As the warrior.
Yeah, Golden Axe. That's what I said. It's that side-scrolling the beat-em-up, right? It's like, no. Warrior.
Yeah, colon warrior, not you played that game as the warrior. Because that's different. This is a game where it is based in that world. It is part of that, you know, whatever the Golden Axe world is. But it's top-down.
The Golden Axe world is essentially you against the giant Death Adder who is trying to take over the land. And that's pretty much it. You got some warriors and you're going to go out and fight and you're going to collect crystals and you're going to defeat the Death Adder, right? That's kind
very,
of the,
very the light whole. Puzzle solving. A few other things. I think this is actually, this game's a little stronger argument for they almost pulled it off. They could have done something with this. I think it's a little confusing that they called it what they called it. Golden Axe Warrior is just a weird branding because everybody knew Golden Axe is the arcade side scroller beat 'em up. Everyone.
Yeah. And the fact that you put warrior in there did not you know, help define what it was. If they had put Golden Axe RPG or, you know, Golden Axe Adventure or something, Legend of Golden Axe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they could have done it.
Something like that.
Yeah, it would have been smarter. Or even altogether just The Legend of Larry and His Dirty Peen or whatever, just a different name. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you want to make use of the Golden Axe name because that was much beloved. Here it is on our Master System now. And I like it. I like the fact we're doing right now is they're showing you can save at different spots, just like in Zelda. You even got those go down stairs in the floor that looks almost exactly like the whole sprite you would see in Zelda. All the dungeons are laid out. You know, you walk into it, you go into a dungeon, you go in different rooms, doors shut behind you, monsters start floating about, flying about. It's fantastic. And you know what I really like about it? The monsters look like Pokemon monsters.
Kinda,
almost.
Yeah.
It's got this really good looking art style. The warriors are chibi warriors, and they're little small and kind of cutesy. You're playing only one warrior, by the way. You run into other golden axe character warriors along your journeys.
Yeah, and once again, I think a more colorful treatment than Nintendo was giving to its own Zelda series.
Once again, the Master System is excelling here. Not as many people had the Master System in the U.S., I found out. A lot more people, usually when I talk to my European counterparts, I hear more people having the Master System than the U.S. I just didn't have a lot of friends who had.
I got one later. When it was hot, though, I would go to Toys R Us and play one and wish I had it. Because I liked the rebellious Sega thing. Like, I know it's a little overwrought in the 90s with the whole Sega yelling at you and acting like you're the only edgy system to buy. But I bought into that when I was younger.
Yep.
And I always really wanted all of that stuff, even if Nintendo was the big, you know, the big winner in the room. I was still like, but these guys are cool, man. They're like rock and roll over here.
They're rock and roll, brother. Their RPG, even their RPG is kind of rock and rollish. I mean, you got horns you collect to spend. Mm-hmm. That's on brand for the Golden Axe Warrior. It's a little bit more action oriented. You know, already Zelda is kind of more of an action RPG than you would see in other deeper RPGs. But I really, man. I've only put two games on my list that I've got to complete this year, and it was Aliens 3 for the SNES last week. I've got to complete that, and now I want to finish Golden Axe Warrior. You might be surprised that I didn't pick another game on our list, which I think is an amazing game, probably a better game, but for some reason, I like the world building that extends on my Golden Axe love of defeating the Death Adder.
Yeah, there's something about it. It has a charm to it. Maybe they. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I agree with you. This is one I felt like I wanted to give more time to. There's one later I also do, but of all the ones we talk about today, this is like in my top two.
Yeah, this is like there's two today that I will probably revisit. There's two that I probably if I revisit, it'll be for something else. It won't be for just sheer joy of it.
No.
But you got nine crystals, and you got to visit different labyrinths to get these crystals. And, you know, so it stays right on story lines with the. You know, the Golden Axe stuff. So if you like Golden Axe, if you can get past the different game style, you'll be all right. Yeah. You'll be all right. Now, some people were mad back in the day. Like, I was reading some game reviews. Some people were like, why did they do this to my Golden Axe? I love Golden Axe. This is a different direction. And, you know, but then other people were like, yeah, this is good. It's just a good, solid, no apologies Zelda clone.
Yeah,
right?
Plus we do that stuff now all the time. Games get weird spinoffs and... It's like, hey, you like Final Fantasy? How about this weird chibi big head cartoony looking one? We're going to do that again. And, you know,
yeah,
like that's fine. Back then, we were all a little too precious about stuff like this. Who cares?
Oh, so much.
They still are now, but not as bad. Yeah.
Over 200 unique screens on the overworld, man. This is a massive game. And there's actually a part that gets even more massive. This game, I think one of the things they said is like, oh, also, it needs to be massive. Because I think one of the most memorable hooks is listed on hardcoregaming101.net. Well, no, I'm sorry, that was something else. I was about to call that for something else, or did I do that wrong? Okay,
I don't know. I don't know what you did, but this is a good game.
I think that was a different. We're going to talk about that. No, it says Golden Axe Warrior, but yet it says Beyond Oasis in the link. Maybe I did the wrong thing.
Well, people like that one too.
Yeah, they like that one too.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's this. Good news, Brian. We're in the Genesis era. Get all 16-bit up in here.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We're out of the 8-bit era.
Yep, we're out of there. Now we got some pretty good graphical treatment for a little game called Beyond Oasis. It's basically the story of Thor, but... I don't know, Sega's version of that, I guess. March 15th, 1995 is when this hit. I remember it coming out and to not a whole lot of noise. Like, again, I don't think they marketed it very well. This is made by the Streets of Rage developer Ancient. And that's important to note because if you're looking for good fighting prowess in a video game, those guys know how to make those.
Yes, they do.
They're quite good. Anyway, this game is really interesting. You're this prince. You look a little like the Prince of Persia, if you notice that.
You really do, and you're Prince Ali of Abwa. Yeah. Right. I couldn't do it. I couldn't complete the sentence where they said you're Prince Ali.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah.
But anyway, and this is after that movie too, so it's a dangerous thing to mess around with, but whatever.
It really is.
Anyway, you got a knife. You can use it all the time. During the course of the game, though, you get other weapons like bows, swords, bombs. All these things have limited use as well, and they break. So, hey, Breath of the Wild
son
lovers.
Son of a butthole, you got a break sword? Come on, and we're talking bullshit break, too. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like only like 10 durability where I swung and I hit like maybe, I don't know if it's one-to-one, but it sure felt like. I felt like I only hit like 10 creatures with it, and it broke. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah, playing this again made me wonder if Breath of the Wild didn't, like, those developers didn't go, hey, what if we did, like, that bad idea in the old game? What if we did that? And they did it.
This is a good game. It's a really good game. But for some reason, this time around, I've played it before, it just felt tedious for me. I don't know why. I mean, it's got great sprites. Oh, my God, the sprites are just... fantastic.
Especially those little pancake blob things. Freaking love those.
Yes, little pancake blob things. Mm-hmm. They're like, some of them are like different purple colors, and they can... I love dungeons and dragons, and anytime I get a chance to fight with a blob, sign me up. Yeah. I like gelatinous cubes and all that stuff. Bring it on. Yeah. I like it.
Had a little bit of a Diablo vibe in the loot system. You would find upgrades for what you were carrying all the time and swap them out. You mentioned the breaking... Which, you know, there's durability loss in Diablo, but not the speed at which this game breaks weapons, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
Bunch of puzzle stuff. We're watching them right now, trying to do a puzzle with bombs. You got different kinds of weapons like that, throwables and whatnot. There's a little air squirter thing that just went up his butt. That's fun.
I forgot about the... Yeah, you got to watch out for the air.
I think I just don't care for the 40 Thieves vibe of the world. I think I would
rather
have
had... That was my problem, too. It made no sense because it's called Beyond Oasis, or if you're in somewhere else in the world, you probably called it, heard it, Story of Thor, which makes even less sense. And it's got this... you know, Aladdin Popeye vibe. If you ever watch those old Popeye cartoons with Sinbad or, you know, or it's just got this weird vibe to it. That's just, it doesn't fit in with what I wanted.
Yeah. I want more of a fantasy vibe. They didn't really put it here. There's lots of cool little digital cheese that you eat, though. And I like digital cheese. This,
I could never tell. It's digital cheese for there's a bunch of pickups for this kind of stuff. Health food, typically. I couldn't tell what the cheese was because it kind of looks like a chocolate chip cookie somebody's taking a bite out of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it kind of looks like gold with holes in it.
Yeah.
No, I think it may be cheese. when they have like these beautiful sprites for everything else, I'm like, you couldn't figure out how to make some, you know, cheese or something.
Yeah. I like the idea that cheese is the main thing that gets you through your busy fantasy life, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh boy, how am I gonna make it through all these things hitting me? I know.
Ollie's gonna be seriously constipated. I forgot about the stink of fish in this world. So this thing has a thing where there's everything environmental is trying to kill you. So if you get in the water, which I got in the water early on and couldn't freaking get out. It was, the clues weren't good enough. Anyway, the fish will attack you just anywhere you go. Stuff constantly attacking you.
Yep.
You're constantly swinging. And like I said, it's a good game. And it's got this most amazing look. It's got great sprites. It's fast. I like how they, at first I didn't like it. I didn't like how the health meter and the spell meter was on one side. And if you got too close to the edge, it would pop to the other side.
Yep.
Which was kind of good because it allowed your character to go all the way to the edge. All these mole rat things that are being cooked right now on screen are everywhere.
Worst. Yep.
I didn't like it at first, but then I was like, I guess it's a good logical solution to what you're doing. I also don't like the fact you have to pick up everything. So like if you go to a pickup, it just doesn't like pick it up. You have to go over and you have to press a button and go, I'm intentionally picking this up. And,
you have limited inventory too, right? You can't just
limited
grab
inventory.
Everything.
There's so many drops. I mean, this is a drop game, man. You're like constantly coming across drops. Yeah. I'd make those inventory decisions.
I think it's really good. I just think that there's some truth to the tedium, you know, there's just a little bit of tedium going on. There's a lot of systems and they aren't all fun.
Right.
I think back in the day they were probably more fun, but I think today my modern standards have changed for what I expect from a game like this. So
yeah. And you're a prince of the land, of course. So you got to save everybody. And right now on screen right now, you guys have, if you're in chat room, you probably know of it listening. He's this guy's made it far enough to have himself a fire genie to kind of a companion, along with him,
fights with him and has certain abilities. Yeah. Like you can set fire to stuff. Oh, those fish can just eat a turd.
Oh, I hate those fish.
Yeah. Screw the fish. They look great the way they're animated. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But
really hard to hit though, man, because it's 2D, but they're kind of coming at you 3D and it's just difficult to line that up. Oh, I also love the run thing too. Like, the run is really good. He's really fast.
Yeah, I have a sprint button, which, again, unusual for the time.
Yeah.
You can see that in a lot of games. So it's an interesting one. Definitely worth checking out. Again, they did a piss poor job of marketing this game, and nobody knew about it. You just didn't know about it. You guys, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. They're sending me some meals. Let's try them together. Go to HelloFresh.com/retro22 and use the code retro22 for 22 free meals plus free shipping. Everything a happy retro gamer needs in his diet. So you've got all these New Year's goals, right? HelloFresh is here to help you achieve them. Skip the grocery store and take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered straight to your door. They're fast and fresh recipes too. HelloFresh's latest line of meals, well, they feature robust flavors and filling proportions, which I always need. They're ready in less than 15 minutes as well, so enjoy that taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel. How about a falafel power bowl, a seared steak and potatoes, and Burmese sauce? Oh, how about the Southwest pork and bean burritos? Well, with HelloFresh, eating well in the new year can be as stress-free and delicious. With over 35 weekly recipes, they have the options you're looking for to help you achieve your goals. Choose calorie smart, carb smart recipes, or even customize select meals by swapping proteins or sides, upgrading your proteins, or adding protein to a veggie dish. It's all right there at the handy for you there. At the handy. Yeah, you heard me. Skip the snowy schlep of the grocery store. Oh, man, that's really true where I live. And stock up on snacks, sides, and more at HelloFresh Market. Simply add these staples and sweets to your already fun weekly order that you're getting, and they'll arrive at your doorstep along with your meals. Simple, easy, breezy. I like all the meals that I've ever gotten from HelloFresh. In particular, I'm a big fan of the chicken sausage rigatoni. Oh, I want more of that right now. Or maybe even the chicken and mushroom risotto. Just thinking about it, making me hungry. And I haven't eaten yet, so now's time for a HelloFresh meal. Go to HelloFresh.com/Retro22 and use the code Retro22 for 22 free meals plus free shipping. Did you hear that? Retro22 at HelloFresh.com for 22 free meals plus free shipping. And this is relatively late mid.
It is. We're almost to PlayStation 5. This was the game. Remember what I mentioned earlier?
PlayStation 1.
We mentioned the Mega RPG project. This was part of that. They were looking at some games. They were mostly fighting this battle in Japan. Sega was against Nintendo, against the RPG onslaught that they were, you know, that Nintendo was serving. But they also were focusing some in the U.S. market, even though RPG is still not that popular. This was 95, and it made it some of the choices that Sega had to make in America was, which is going to be better? We have two games coming at us. We have Beyond Oasis and Crusader of Senti.
Yeah.
And both of those were released in March of 1995, right on the cusp of, hey, we're about to do the, you know, the Saturn, and we're about to do the PS1 and all this other stuff we're just right around the corner, very end of life for the Sega Genesis. And they decided to go with Beyond Oasis. And as a result, Crusader Senti
overlooked.
Got it overlooked, had a smaller publisher publish them. It's just a shame. If it could have gotten any traction, I think that would have been an amazing series.
Let's hear a little of that game. Ooh, very, very creepy. All right, so Crusader of Senti, I think, is the most Zelda-like of all of these, in a good way. I don't mean it's a complete ripoff. I just mean the spirit of it, the kind of
this one felt less like a Zelda clone and more like an homage, like we would see in their indie games now.
Yeah.
Of that, because it is like, you know, it's 1995. So we've had plenty of time to, you know, figure all that stuff out.
Yeah. Lots of puzzles, lots of great overworld combat. It looks really nice, I think. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite of the bunch. And I think this and Golden Axe Warriors are two of my favorites. But there's things that you recognize immediately, like that sword chops down weeds, and the weeds have stuff in it, money and items coins. And whatever.
Yeah.
You're a kid. The story's very kid friendly. If anything, it's a lot easier than the Zelda games of the time.
Yep.
And that was a complaint for some people, but I actually think this game is charming as hell. And it is a crime that it was treated the way it was from a marketing perspective.
It's progression easy, but it's not easy. I mean, it's still challenging to play
Yeah.
It's just not as challenging as something like Legend of Zelda. Yeah. Puzzles are.
Maybe not quite as deep or whatever. I don't know. You also can throw your sword like a boomerang, which I think is really neat.
I love that. Yeah. And so instead of, so you learned that. So instead of having like an XP skill based upgrade system, instead you unlock things kind of like Legend of Zelda. So
yeah, Zelda does that, sure.
Yeah. You'll unlock this ability to throw your sword. Unlike in Legend of Zelda, where I think you blast, it's like an energy blast or something.
You get that with a spin, right? And then you get later. Right. You usually get a well, it depends on the Zelda game, but you get an actual boomerang. And this game was like, you know, what if the sword was both things?
Yeah, what if so it just did all the things? Let's just do the things.
Yeah, this game is the one that held me the longest too, in terms of me playing it, preparing for the show. I kind of got lost in it, and that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna keep going. I don't know if I'll beat the game or anything, but I am going to definitely play it more.
That's me.
Can I put that out there? The name is terrible. What does Senti mean? Senti is stupid. That's a terrible name.
It's a play, right? I kept wanting to call it Legend of Senti all week. I just could not lock in on Crusader for some reason. I'm like, but it's the original Japanese name of the game. By the way, this game was picked up like. Developed by Nextech, but I think Nextech actually only continued the development because I think another company that they purchased was actually their creators of Crusader. So Crusaders of Senti really deserves its own episode. We could really dive in deep. There is a bunch out there, including the fact that it is one of the rarest and hardest games to get if you want a real physical Sega Genesis game, because it was published in limited quantities by Atlas Software, who specialized in they were a developer in Japan, but they also distributed in the U.S. And because they also
Altus.
I think it's Atlas.
I thought it was Altus.
Did I spell it wrong or something? I thought it was Atlas.
I always thought it was Atlas, and then I thought someone said no, it's Altus, and now I don't know. Now I don't know what to
Maybe
say.
So. Maybe
I'll
so.
Look it up.
The point is, they did a lot of localizations for different games. And so they also published. And so it's kind of like, we do a bunch of things. We'll take care of this. And, you know, they only put so much out there. But the Senti part is from the Japanese title. I can't remember what the title was. It was something like Weirdo.
Okay, there might be two devs.
Ragna Senti. That's what it was like. Shin Shosiki Ragna Senti.
Ragna Senti.
Ragnus. So
I was kind of right and wrong at the same time. Altus is a Japanese publisher developer, and Atlas is also a Japanese publisher and developer.
Okay, there you go.
Different
so
companies.
We have both. Well, this one was Atlas.
I believe. That makes sense. Yeah. It's a bummer. This game had legs, man. It's fun.
Did you get to the point? Did you get far enough in? I'm still playing. I got just a little bit into it. I did not get into the storyline, the story beats, and the upgrade path of getting animal companions. I think that's when the game really starts getting interesting, because up until then, you know, you're just unlocking the basic stuff, like getting your sword, getting a better sword, getting the ability to jump so you can unlock certain areas of the map. But then you start losing your ability to talk to the inhabitants, to talk to the other humans in town, and you start communicating through the animals.
Yep.
So I didn't make it that far.
I'm not that far with the communication part, but I do have a companion where I'm at.
Okay, good.
Not two like this one. I don't know when I get two.
No, you can do up. It's really interesting too. You can have up to two companion animals, and based on how you combine them, it will power up your weapons in different forms. You'll have different attacks that you can do. So the game mechanics get a little bit cooler later in the game. But once again, I won't argue the fact that it is a little bit too easy at times, and as a result, I don't know if I would have the patience to go all the way through, unlike Golden Axe Warrior, which I feel like the payoff for killing Blackadder would be what I would want. I feel like there's a payoff there.
Yeah, no, it's more risk-reward in that game, for sure. This one just felt like they were softballing it a little bit, especially, I don't know, in the wake of... what's the Lincoln Time? What's
Wind
it called?
Waker?
No, the SNES game.
Link to the Past.
Link to the Past. Oh. Geez. In the face of that, like this had no choice. This had no hope. So you got to remember that. That's the era we're talking about. And Link to the Past is, it's still a masterpiece. It's one of the greatest video games ever made.
Yeah.
Well, how do you compete with that, man? What do you even do?
Yeah. This is a great game to emulate. I wouldn't want to purchase it. Or if you had the Sega Genesis Mini 2.
Yeah. Or
what's on there.
Or if you have this cartridge and you're like, man, this is just taking up space, send it to Scott's P.O. Box. That's all you got to do.
You guys, all you got to do, man. That's
all you got to do. A couple of things worth mentioning. Wonder Boy in Monster Land was the Wonder Boy series trying to do the Zelda 2 thing on the the Master System, right? Yeah.
Right.
That's, I tried a little of that. That is not a good game. I'd recommend it not playing it.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, there's other games on the Master System you can spend your time. But yeah, just fighting monsters screen to screen. This is exactly like what it sounds like. You're a Wonder Boy and you're just going... you're just side scrolling your way to attacking the monsters. It's okay.
You know what else is cool about the Master System? It doesn't have all that glitchy tearing that the NES had. That blinking and tearing and stuff. I hated that.
Yeah. This Master System was actually a really powerful system during this day. It was doing some things.
Yeah, I liked it.
It had some overhead for game developers to, you know, kind of stretch a little bit.
Yeah. Another one is Axe Battler. A Legend of Golden Axe.
Yes. Now see, Axe Battler, that's even further along. At least you, if you heard that, you're like, oh, this is going to be something a little different than the normal, Golden Axe, right?
Yep. And this one showed up on the Game Gear. So if you were walking around with that big fatty and your nine AAA batteries,
you're sitting on the toilet with a plug-in running to the bedroom. Maybe you play this as well.
I looked it up today. I was helping Nibbit with some stuff, and we were trying to figure out how thick a Game Gear was. The thickness measurement is 38 millimeters.
It's crazy.
Now, that's going to sound like, oh, I only work in inches. That doesn't sound that big. It's freaking thick, man.
Yeah, that's like, well, almost like an inch. What is it, like 25? Was it, how many centimeters is that? Or a millimeter?
38, something close to that.
So that's almost, that's not quite 2 inches. That's under 2 inches.
It's so fat. It's so
big. That is incredibly fat. That is like your fingertip times one plus maybe a little more than half. So yeah, that's thick, man.
Yeah. That's very thick.
That thing is a thick slice of ham right there.
Now you
may recognize that this game looks kind of like this Axe Battler, Legend of Golden Axe, Zelda 2 clone on the Game Gear. Looks a little bit like a Phantasy Star or something. That's because I believe some of the developers worked on some of this as some of well the same as some guys. Of these other. Yeah, yeah. I believe that's correct. If
Phantasy
I remember
Star is such a great series as well. Again, yeah. I think undersold by Sega. At the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a much bigger deal now. But now I want to talk about a game that actually kind of blew my mind after watching some video and hearing some scenes and gameplay. I didn't actually play it because I don't have my Saturn stuff set up right now. But the game is called Shining Wisdom from 1995. Mm-hmm. Completely missed this. Didn't even know it existed. Kind of a holdover from the Genesis era, although the sprites and the animation on this thing are clearly better. They look a lot better on the Saturn.
Yeah. I mean, the Saturn is designed for, you know, handling 3D. And so it was like, yeah, throw me some sprites. I got this. This is easy work.
Yep. And it's part of the, I believe it's part of the Shining Force series. It's in a continuation of all that, right?
Right.
So I think this looks good. I can't tell if it is good because I haven't played it, but it sure looks good. I want to play it kind of.
I want to play it too. And it's easy for us to look at it now and go, yeah, I want to play this in context of the many decades of retro that we cover. But if you had just picked up a Sega Saturn and you're looking for a hot title and they show you this, you'd be like, oh, Jesus, this looks like a Genesis title on my Sega Saturn. Yeah,
no, you're right. And remember they had that was the whole problem with the Saturn, or a lot of the problems with the Saturn, is it was an incredible upgrade in the 2D space, more akin to something that would compete with the Neo Geo. But instead, Sony's over there going, no, we're doing 3D. You guys are dumb.
Yeah, you're stupid.
And then that was a mistake, I guess. But in retrospect, I kind of want to see more of the 2D stuff that I missed.
Yeah.
Because I was I was on the same bandwagon as everybody else. I'm like, oh, 3D, that's the future.
Yep.
But we missed some really good sprite work, and this looks like one of those to me. I kind of want to play it.
Yeah. This is on my list of I've got to check out more. I don't know how the gameplay is, so I can't say I want to complete it, but it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does look really good. It sounds pretty good, too. The music's super melodramatic and dumb. But
plus, I like he's getting followed by. Is that a goose or is that a duck?
It's a goose. It's a goose. Gooses are always dicks. That's the plan. That's what they do, man. Then there's one final one here that deserves a mention. Linkle Liver Story or Wrinkle River Story.
I've heard some theories on this.
Okay, give it to me. Okay. 1996s, but tell me more about this game. What is the deal?
Right, so this is a continuation. This is their next tech again, the Crusader Ascenti, and this is considered to be the spiritual successor to that. The reason why it's called Linkle Liver Story is because of a poor translation because of the Japanese language problem of W's and R's. I don't know if that's factual. That's just something I read on a website. I don't want it to be true, but maybe there's some kind of truth to it. But Linkle Liver Story was supposed to be translated into Wrinkle River Story, which makes more sense because you do... You mess with some river stuff and everything in the game. So I don't know. I don't know.
You mess with some river stuff. Once again, it's got this weird mix of there's some 3D polygon stuff in this game, as well as like mostly 2D content. Really cool water effects. Again, another example of the Saturn doing what Saturn did best, which is these amazing sprite, scalable sprite work and whatever. If they'd have been right about their prediction of what the next generation cared about, I think Saturn would have had a chance to be the big.
I think so too. It's too bad they couldn't have taken a Nintendo and said, you just went, you know what? We're going to stick with tried and true for just a little bit longer before we go to the next step and just made Saturn just the, you know.
Yeah. Because I think Nintendo might have gone for that. The N64 was obviously going to be later than the PS1.
Yeah, a minute.
I don't know. It's just a weird transition. And what that tells me is Sega was bad at market conditions. They didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Sometimes they were blind to it. And I don't know.
There's a lot of fighting too. Sega is an American company, but there's two big competing, there's a big Japanese company and there's a big American company, not as big as it shrunk. But yeah, so has this a lot of infighting. It's just oldest time. Right? The oldest time, man.
Yep. Well,
all the infighting.
They're all worth checking out. In particular, I think the two winners here are Golden Axe Warrior and Legend of Senti. Or not Legend, jeez.
Yikes, see, you did it too. Yeah, see, I can't get it. It's Crusader of Senti.
Crusader of Senti.
Doesn't make sense.
C-E-N-T-Y, by the way. There's no S.
Yeah.
And I think those are, you know. Those are fun. And they both run really well on emulation.
Yeah, I had no trouble at all. When you're talking about 8 and 16-bit era emulation, that's usually pretty solid just about anywhere.
We're there now. We've gotten it. Yeah. We figured it out, everybody. For good or ill.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, you did it. All right, now time to play this.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game, where we take an old game, play a little audio, and then we try to stump each other and see if each other can guess what it is. I'm going to play mine first, and here are your hints. It is... Oh, I almost said the name. What an idiot. It is a GBA game, the Game Boy Advance. This came out in 2005. I realize that's pushing the limits of what we consider retro, but whatever. It's a pixelated 16-bit game. And we have talked about this game briefly before. Those are your hints. Okay. Here's your audio. See if you can do it.
Oh, this has got to be a big Donkey
hint.
Kong type game, right? It's got a monkey in it.
That's a big hint. There's a monkey. Guesses yet?
The legend, the Crusader of Kong is the
there it is again. All right,
I'm actually gonna say this is the net, and he's either trying to catch the monkeys and it's on the PlayStation, but you said it's Game Boy. Did they have one on the Game Boy? No, they wouldn't because it's a PlayStation title, so it can't be that.
What were you thinking of? Oh,
Monkey
Legend
balls,
of Monkey Bullshit. What was it called? I can't remember the name of that. Monkey Mayhem or Ape Escape.
Ape Escape. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know what? Monkey Mayhem would be a good name for a game.
Though. Monkey Mayhem would be fantastic. I don't know. Game Boy Advance 2005 definitely has a monkey in it.
I'll give you a hint. It's based on a major IP, but it is not a mainline game within that IP. It's an offshoot. And I actually hadn't heard of it until we first talked about it.
Really?
Yeah. But we have talked about it.
We talked about Diddy Kong Racing and that kind of stuff. So I would assume it's some kind of Diddy Kong something.
I don't know. You'd have to tell me.
Diddy Kong dude it again. Diddy Kong. Diddy Kong dude it. Diddy Kong Pooflinger for the Game Boy Advance. Do you blow on the screen?
Nailed it. No, it is called, I'll just give it to you. It is DK, King of Swing.
King of Swing. I should have known that. Dadgummit.
Let me give you some details here. 2005 puzzle platform game developed by Payon. I don't know who that is. Published by Nintendo for the Game Boy Advance. King of Swing diverges from the gameplay of the other games in the series. Instead features characters rotating around pegs to progress, similar to an NES game, Clue Land. Basically, the R and L buttons, the shoulder buttons, you like swing, grab, swing, grab. You have to like alternate when you touch them.
Oh,
it's
actually
kind of fun. I like it.
It is fun. I hate that mechanic because I'm no good at it, but I do love it.
Yeah, I had a good time with it. I played this audio you're hearing is me playing it.
Oh, really?
So played a ton of it today. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. Here's a screenshot, chat. Well, you don't see that very well, but. And I
do remember this, and we talked about that not long ago too. You're right.
Really dig the sprite work in particular. I think it's very good. They made a sequel. It says called DK Jungle Climber. That came out in 2007 for the DS. Also got favorable reviews.
Liver Jinkle Jankle K story.
This is funny. See, I hate these reviews in retrospect. IGN gave the game a 7.8 out of 10. At the time, criticizing the cartoon-style graphics as being a step back from the pre-rendered 3D graphics of Donkey Kong Country. See, I disagree. Those look like shit now. You look at them now, those look like shit compared to this.
Yeah, in the moment, it's just like, you can't see it sometimes. So let that be a lesson to those in the future. Maybe it's not a bad idea to kind of still keep your foot. You don't have to. Every title doesn't have to like be a showcase for your new hardware, right?
No.
Sometimes you can just have something that just didn't meet the finish line in the previous generation, but still has legs.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're totally right. But what this does mean is you lost. So nice job there. Here's
I did lose. Now I feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad because I tossed you a softball. Let's see if you get mine. Mine's all right. Pretty easiest.
Any setup? What do we got? Yeah.
The Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
From 1994.
All right. 94. Okay. That was a big year. That was 28 years ago.
Still late, too. Yeah. For the NES. Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Here we go. Oh.
What did I say? 1990? What year did I say?
94. You said 94.
Oh, that's totally not right.
84?
That should be 84.
Oh, haven't we done this? This is Excitebike, I think.
We have not. It is Excitebike. Like I said, it's Excitebike. I thought so, too. I went back and checked the document that our friend sent us.
And we've never done Excitebike? I'm shocked by that.
I did not see it in there. And,
Wow, yeah, 84 would have been more accurate, right? Not 94.
It was definitely 84. I realized as soon as I realized what game I had put in there, I'm like, wait a minute, that was definitely not 94.
That's what was 94. Throwing me off. Jesus. But if you go back to the beginning, is this music here?
Yeah. I cut the tip of it off because if you heard the very start of that, there would have been no question.
Yeah.
You would have had it within the first three notes. And I said, well, if I cut off the first three notes or so, we'll see if that does anything.
Did they ever attempt? I know they had Excite Truck on the Wii. Do you remember this?
I barely remember that. Excite Truck on the Wii.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up, make sure I'm not remembering this wrong. Yeah, there it is. I do remember this right. There was a game on the Wii called Excite Truck made by Nintendo and Monster Games. So for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, I do remember this. Yeah.
Tilt-based controls, somewhat malleable environments. Game was on the Wii launch title, or it was a Wii launch title. I actually had this game. And you could put an SD card in your Wii and play your own music in there.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yep. So this is the third game in the Excite series. You had Excite Bike on the NES, Excite Bike 64. Surprised the Super Nintendo never had anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you could do MP3s on an SD card. Oh, there it is right there. Yep. And let's see. A sequel, Excite Bots Trick Racing, was released for the Wii in North America in April. I don't remember that.
I don't either. Looking at it now, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it was all right.
It's okay. That was For a Wii. I didn't like the motion controller. That pissed me off.
I was about to say, I never played it. The kids had it. And I remember watching them playing. Oh, neat. I wouldn't mind playing this. And I never got to it. So there you go.
I don't know. I feel like Nintendo's forcible, like forcing everything to fit within the motion control space, it rubbed me wrong the entire generation.
Yeah. It really did. Me too. I'm like, I didn't need for it to be like that.
No.
It's fine.
Yeah. I also wish they'd gotten goofy with it. These are just like serious trucks, like in cars and stuff. They had turbo.
The serious trucks in the context of those tires are on fire.
Well, I just mean the Nintendo charm and character just isn't there.
Yeah,
it's just like, right. it's another mashup car thing.
There's no Donkey Kong leaning out the window going,
yeah, exactly.
Hands that were throwing a peace sign or something or giving you an evil look.
Yeah, plus I was playing like 360 and PS3 games at this point, and this just looked like shit.
This makes me think of like even in those cars and stuff. This reminds me of like the SSX series. Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like that for some reason. I don't know why I'm getting that vibe.
No, a little bit, sure. It's all like you can do tricks in the air and all that stuff. I think that's
yeah.
Fun. It's a I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing this thing redone in a proper engine. It just looks like the draw distance sucked. It was like blurry. I don't know.
Yeah,
not my favorite. All right. Well, there you go. That's Guess My Game, and I triumphed, Brian.
You won, and I lost. Oh,
I don't like Steam.
No, it doesn't like Steam.
Money blow.
You win.
All right, aliens. Great. Hey, look at this. Time for emails.
Welcome to the treasure room.
The treasure room.
The treasure room.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is the email address. Charles wrote in and says, because of you, I have been playing around with a RetroPie setup. I even got a NesPie case for it. Do you know what that is?
Yes. Yes, NES, just a little, let's look like a little NES.
Oh, a little NES box. Okay. I was thinking of something else. I love it. Playing all sorts of great stuff. I'm having an issue getting some ROMs to work. Is there a source you can point me to get actual ROMs that work? I know you can't, but maybe you can just nudge me in the right direction. My RetroPie is using a Raspberry Pi 3. Are there any settings you can recommend so I can get the best out of it? Love the show, though. Charles, Raspberry Pi 3, perfectly suitable for this. No problem. As far as I know,
ROMs. If I was someone looking for ROMs, especially from this, some of the stuff we've been talking about, I would look up a Google search term like ROM sets and then pick the system you're looking for. And the reason why is because when you get a ROM set, all the files in there, and it's according to what kind of ROM set you get to, by the way, they should be compatible. So When you download just individual ROMs, sometimes you will get only part of what you actually need.
Mm.
Whereas if you download ROM sets, they may have made the set so that certain files are in certain areas and you can access those files from others. So it's all about the structure of it. So if you're having trouble with certain ROMs, getting your ROM set will certainly probably help organize what you're doing. And also make sure you get all the BIOS files you need. That's also a common thing that people don't do when they're setting their RetroPies up.
Yeah. Also, archive.org has a ton of stuff.
Yeah. If you search ROM sets archive, you'll probably get directed to the ROM sets you're looking for on archive.org.
Yeah. A lot of these come too on like, let's see, SanDisk 128 gig.
Yeah. If you order something like me and Scott did, we ordered the Anbernic, and you will, whether you want it or not, they will send you a bunch of ROM sets already on the memory card. I tried to order it without the memory card.
Yeah.
It wouldn't let me.
Right.
I couldn't find it in stock without the without the SD cards. So,
and also a little side note, if you played back in the day, you played the NES, or no, I don't know if this is a Nintendo version or not, but if you're like, man, all I really want is that Aladdin and Lion King games that were on the 16-bit machines. They have Switch versions of that stuff available for $30 for both in a single pack. So there's lots of ways of getting this stuff that don't have anything to do with your RetroPie, but, you know, there's all sorts of lists and things. And Brian just gave you some good suggestions. So go check those out. Hey, we got also a text here from somebody. Let's see. Do we have a name? No. This came without a name. 801-471-0462. You can also leave us voicemails there if you're not nervous and just want to talk. You know, it's fine.
we love hearing your voice.
Yeah, that's great.
That way Scott doesn't have to butcher.
Yeah, I don't have to butcher the read, whatever the read is. I don't have to screw it up.
Yeah.
Like this one, Play Retro Show topic idea, he says. Best multiplayer co-op games. While Gauntlet is still fresh in your minds, what about a six-player X-Men or The Avengers or Spider-Man or TMNT, or The Simpsons or any of the two-player shooters? Rampage, Smash TV, and other ones I can't think of. I know you have touched on some of these, but as a whole co-op comparison might be a good discussion. I agree!
Yeah, especially those Rampage and Smash TV. I've been trying to figure out a way to get that Smash TV. Of course, we have talked about the six-player X-Men, Spider-Man. No, I'm sorry, the six-player X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and The Simpsons were all one episode. But like you said, absolutely. Some of those are some exciting things. Smash TV.
Where you had the two sword-fighting dudes, and it was vector art?
You're talking about, oh my God.
It was top down.
Yeah.
But it was Vector, and it was called something awesome.
Vector Fighters.
No. Shoot.
Let's see.
It is such a cool game. It was the kind of art style you get out of Tempest or, you know, Asteroids or something. May have been Sony. Or not Sony.
Do you guys remember? There was an arcade game that I remember that, and maybe this is something you're talking about too. I remember there was an arcade game that used like mirrors and projected like a 3D image.
That's the game. That's it.
Is that the same one you're talking about?
Yeah, and it looked like bricks and like part of the castle something.
Castle.
Not crystal castles. Castle. Oh, shit. Frick. Someone know this? Who knows this? Yes, it had mirrors and art in there, and they would put that in the background of it all, so it looked like you were floating over it. Vector.
That is arcade consoles. What is this? Is that the fattiest arcade games? I would like that idea.
All right, here we go. Sword fight vector images. Nope, sword fighting vector images. Where are we looking here? I don't want this.
Was it called Time Traveler? Was that it?
No.
I don't think that's right.
No.
Laserdisc Interactive Movie Arcade Game of Design for Dragon Slayer. Rick Dyer. Ooh,
that Star Castle, is it?
Maybe Star Castle?
No, and McCoy? That's the one that's like a black hole. Oh, shit. This is going to bug me the rest of the day.
Yes.
Hold on. Let me look at this. Yeah, Star Castle is not what I'm thinking of, but it's a similar style of vector art. Crystal Castles, not Nidhogg. I love Nidhogg. Nidhogg's awesome, but that's much more new.
Love it.
Well, shit potatoes. I can't find it.
Ah, shit taters. We'll figure it out before next week.
Someone at home knows what I'm saying, and they'll write in. But thank you for the idea. We like that. Best multiplayer. Two-player, four-player, six-player. We could have all kinds of fun with that.
Yeah.
But
There was a hologram time traveler game that was a Laserdisc that was, I also want to talk about that, but I don't think that's the one you're talking about.
No, definitely not Laserdisc. It was pretty basic and early in that era. It's like, like Asteroids era. And maybe it was Atari. I just don't remember. Anyway, until then, we'll do this other thing. We have this other idea. Arcade top down racers, super off road, Badlands, Bump and Jump, World Rally. Was the one I liked the most. I liked one called Micro Super Machines? Sprint.
No, it's not arcade though.
No, Super Sprint in the arcade is one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, Super Sprint. That was a good one.
Love that game so much. We're gonna cover those. I can't wait. I love those games.
I do too.
So hey, arcade fans, are you excited? We're gonna talk about arcades and not consoles next week. Yay!
We're going back to the arcade, baby!
That's right. You should be among us and be here for that. That's Arcade Top Down, racers of all sorts on the next episode of Play Retro. In the meantime, we'd love you to be our supporters over at Play Retro on Patreon. That's patreon.com/playretro, in fact. And the next three people who join our Patreon will get in the mail, independent of all the other benefits you get from being our patron. You're going to get three let's see. I'm going to give three people this. If I can find it. Here it is. Just to show the chat. You will get Kirby in jeans. Jean-wearing Kirby.
Oh. Yep. Why is Kirby wearing jeans? Well, I got to know.
I just got a wild hair at my butt and drew it that way. And now I have these not kiss cut. What do you call them?
Sheet cut. I don't know.
There's a word for this. Anyway, brain no worky today. But I'm going to send three of these out to three lucky brand new patrons because I'm running out of these. I think I got five left. I'm going to send three of these to you if you sign up today, even at the lowest level. Get in there, get that, get no commercials ever, get pre-show content every week, get a bunch of other benefits just by being our best friends and supporting the show. That's patreon.com/playretro. I think it's going to do it for us. Hey, Brian, is there anything you'd like to add to what we've already said before we go?
Absolutely. Tune in nightly, usually Monday through Friday, except for one night we do Play Retro, 6 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/BrianDunaway, where I play these retro games. I played a ton last week. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's real good. So do that and watch us play. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching and listening. Go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
Coliseum.
That's definitely not it.
That's it. I'm telling you, Coliseum.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Aren't I sweet?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.